Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, August the 14th. Well, we woke up to a lot of rain here in North Texas today. It rained pretty much of the morning. It's cleared up quite a bit now, and it's supposed to be clear the rest of the day. In fact, it's supposed to be humid for the next couple of days, and the temperatures are going back up. It was like in the 80s today, but it's we're going to go back to more typical temperatures. But it is humid. It just feels humid today, and well, I guess that's what happens in Texas this time of the year. Today we're going to talk about President Trump and his critics and how he reacts to the critics. I've got a few thoughts on that. You know, the generic poll, this is that poll that many of the pundits follow. All of a sudden, it's really tight between Democrats and Republicans. What does it mean? I'm not really sure because it changes a lot. But it clearly looks better for the Republicans today than it did just a few months ago. They took a very interesting survey, and I have a post over at Babalu about this, where they're asking young people their views on capitalism and socialism. And it's really depressing. I think it is very depressing when you hear young people talk about socialism in such an endearing way. I don't think these young people understand what they're talking about, and that we got to do something about that. As my generation needs to go back and tell these young people that socialism is not what they think it is. But I want to begin, before we get to our topics, I want to begin with what is happening up in Minnesota. There's a big primary in Minnesota, not just Minnesota, but other states as well. We're right now in that primary season where a lot of states have different primaries. Wisconsin, I believe, is also having one today. But the one in Minnesota is the one getting a lot of attention. And, you know, our friend Barry Castleman, the Prairie editor, has been following that election quite closely. And he believes that Minnesota could be one of the real surprises in 2018. Well, we'll find out tonight. We'll find out tonight as we begin to see how the candidates place out for the upcoming election. It's not a contest between Democrats and Republicans in Minnesota. It's a contest within each party. And there appears to be a conflict in the Democrat Party between the center and the left. And that's what we're going to follow. And we're going to be talking to Barry Castleman probably in a couple of days to go over his thoughts on that election up in Minnesota, frankly, as well as some of the others, because after this week, most of the primaries have concluded. There may be a primary out there, but most of the primaries have concluded, and I think most of the candidates are in place or will be in place after tonight for the upcoming election. So we'll get a look at what Barry has to say about this. He's been following especially the election up in Minnesota quite closely, so we'll find out about that. Let's talk about this generic poll. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the so-called generic poll is a poll where they ask people, who would you rather vote for in November, a Democrat or a Republican? It doesn't identify the name of their congressman. It doesn't identify any, you know, what district you're in. It simply says, who would you rather vote for? And people say Democrat or Republican. Historically, if one party is like 10 points ahead, it generally means that there's a wave coming, that you could have a big surprise on election day where one party sweeps, either takes over the House or takes over the Senate. We saw that in 1994 when the Republicans had a tremendous night and swept the House and the Senate. That was President Clinton. We saw a little bit of a wave, not as big, but still a big wave, in 2006 when the Democrats took over the House, picked up about 30 seats, and took over the Senate by one vote. And then we saw this again in 2010 and 2014. In 2010, when the Democrats or the Republicans picked up the House, they turned over like 64 seats. And then the Republicans in the Senate in 2014, when they picked up like 7 or 8 seats. So anyway, when you see this generic poll expanding, or when you start seeing a big lead for one party or the other, it could be a sign that there's something big coming in November. Right now, it's shrinking. In other words, it's getting tight. It's like 2 or 3 points difference, or within the margin of error. So basically what that says to me is two things. Number one, we don't really know what's going to happen. But more importantly, this is a turnout election. Whoever turns out is likely going to win the House. So if the Democrats turn out and the Republicans don't turn out, for example, the Democrats will likely pick up the House. Not by a lot of votes. It could be by 4 or 5 votes, but they'll pick up the House. If the Republicans turn out, then they'll hold on to the Senate. Now, they're going to lose some seats because you're not going to win every one. But they have a margin of about 23. They could lose 15 and still hold on to the House. The Senate is a little bit different because this is very good political terrain for the Republicans this year, because there are a lot of elections of red state Democrats where it could be – I mean, the Senate could be very nice for the Republicans, especially if there's a heavy turnout. But the House is what everybody's following. I think most pundits concede that the Republicans will hold on to the House, but I mean to the Senate. But the House is where I think a lot of debate is going on as to who's going to win, who's going to lose. But based on these generic polls, we don't really know at the moment who's going to win and who's going to lose. And I think it creates a very exciting situation with less than 3 months to go. So I'll just tell you again, it's not an original theory. It's certainly not something that I invented, but something that bears out every time in these midterms. Turnout is going to decide the election. Whoever turns out in huge numbers is going to decide the election. The Republicans have historically done well on turnout, especially if they're enthusiastic about turning out. A couple of times they were not, like 2006, there was not a lot of excitement to turn out, and that was reflected in the Democrats taking over the House. But I don't know. I have a feeling that there's some pretty good enthusiasm out there for Republicans. I know that there's a lot of gloom and doom about the Republican Party, particularly in the media, but I see a lot more problems for the Democrats, particularly this, you know, this clash, if you will, between the Bernie Sanders and the center of the party. I mean, this is a nasty little fight that they have, and that could have an impact in electing or nominating some candidates who may not be able to succeed in November. So we'll see. We'll see. But turnout. I'm not going to tell you who's going to win, because I really don't know. But I will tell you this. Whoever turns out in good numbers has a very good chance of achieving their objectives in November. I'll put it to you that way. So if the Republicans turn out, they'll hold on to the House and probably pick up quite a few Senate seats. If the Democrats turn out, they'll probably win the House by a few votes and maybe pick up a Senate or two. But I still think it's very hard for the Democrats to pick up the Senate simply because of the nature of the contest this year. The political map is so favorable to the Republicans that I think they should be able to pick up a couple of those red state seats that people like Montana and Indiana and so on are fighting. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos' schedule on the show information. If you look under show description, you'll see something there about Carlos and his schedule. Click on that, and you'll be able to follow him around town. He does a great job wherever he goes, and you ought to follow him. I think you're going to enjoy it a great deal. On this day in 1930, Earl Weaver was born. Earl Weaver passed away in 2013. He was the great baseball manager of the Baltimore Orioles. He went to 4 World Series. He won one of them. Just an absolutely one of the most successful managers in Major League history. Earl Weaver, who used to get into these great fights with the umpires. sometimes the language was not the best, but the fights were fun to watch. And on this day in 1935, Social Security was signed into law by President Roosevelt. So we say happy number 83 to Social Security, signed into law on this day by FDR. Well, let's take a look at this poll that came out, very interesting poll that came out, asking young people, I think it was done by Gallup, and asking young people about capitalism and socialism, and, well, asking everybody about it, and it is depressing to see how capitalism capitalism as an idea is so misunderstood in the country. But it's even more depressing when you ask the young people, where it's almost 50-50. I mean, it's remarkable. It's almost 50-50. So you have to ask yourself the question, do these young people really understand, you know, based on this poll, do they really understand what socialism is? I don't think they do. I don't think they do, because if they did, they wouldn't favor it. I think what's happened is that, and I wrote a post about this over at Ravalu, where I think people in my generation, we remember socialism quite directly, because not only in my case, having come here from Cuba, but in the sense that we remember the Berlin Wall, we remember the USSR, we remember, you know, Soviet troops going into Czechoslovakia and stuff like that. So we understood that socialism was not what it was meant out to be, that it was really a very bad economic policy, and in most cases, it took away your freedoms, as happened in the old Soviet bloc. I think a lot of young people associate socialism with health care and free education. Well, they think it's free, but somebody's got to pay the taxes. So I think our generation, my generation, the baby boomers, we're going to have to educate these young people and basically say to them, socialism doesn't work. Now, I put a lot of blame here on the educational system that has not taught that to young people. I mean, a lot of these universities are basically training grounds for socialism. It's very sad, but that's what it is. So I think we're going to have to say to our young sons and daughters, explain to them directly what socialism is, because I don't think they know what it is. I think they confuse it with liberalism, and liberalism and socialism are not the same thing, not at all. They have some things in common, I agree, but they're not the same things. Liberalism works well, I mean, like some social programs and a safety net. That works well with capitalism. Socialism is where the government runs everything, and that doesn't work well at all. All you have to do is look around the world and see for yourself. So, bad idea. We got to reteach these young people about socialism, because they obviously don't know what it is when you see polls like this by Gallup here recently. Well, President Trump and his critics, you know, President Trump has a habit of fighting back. Every time somebody says anything about him, he fights back. We saw this during the primaries. And I understand why he does it. He doesn't want people to take cheap shots at him without him fighting back. And I think a lot of us remember what was done to President George W. Bush. And some of us wish that Bush had fought back more, particularly some of the lies that were being said about the Iraq War. But anyway, I think President Trump is overdoing it. That's my opinion. President Trump has had a very successful presidency so far. The economy is well. The economy is good. The judges, I love what he's doing with judges. I love generally what he's doing as president. He's putting up some pretty good results as president. But he has the habit of always fighting back. For example, he gets into a tweet fight with Don Lemon of CNN. What's the point of getting into a tweet fight with Don Lemon? I mean, nobody watches Don Lemon. He may have an audience of 800,000, 900,000 people on a good night. Well, that's nothing in a country of 320 million people. So why pick fights with people like that? Now, I understand President Trump is angry with this woman, Omarosa, this young woman, Omarosa. I understand he's angry. I can get that. I understand that. I think this young woman was very unethical making those tapes and then releasing them to the public. So I understand that. I understand that. I also understand she may have violated an agreement with him. I get all of that. But why pick a fight with the public, in a public venue, with this young woman? I mean, I just don't get that. And I think that you don't get it. When you're president of the United States, you don't shoot down the people below you. You don't get into fights with them, because it doesn't make any sense. So my suggestion to President Trump is, don't reply to everything they tell you. Every once in a while, yes, you do have to fight. But I think to do it every day, I think it takes up a lot of good resources, and it takes up a lot of energy. And he should be talking about the things that he's doing well. And he's doing plenty of things very well. Well, thank you for listening, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later.